The book of Luke, chapter number 7, verse number 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Do you understand in this verse of Scripture that this mother, it might be said that she was a widow. You might say that her husband has died, and she has one son living in her home. And when Jesus came to where she was, it was a time of death in that her husband had died, and now her only son, the only person that could take care of her, the only person that she would look to or rely upon, her only son, now he died. It is not told to us what he died of, but he passed away. And the Bible tells us that this woman, she began to weep very, very much. And I believe that this young man who is dead represents something that is spiritual. I believe he represents me. You see, when I was lost, before I ever got saved, I was dead in trespasses and in sins. What does that mean? Well, for a dead man cannot hear, and a dead man cannot see. I mean, a dead man may have a body that lays here. You can see his body, but he can't hear, and he can't see, and he can't talk because he's dead. You know, when I used to come to church when I was younger, my daddy's a preacher, and you know what I would do? I didn't listen to the sermon. I was there for go to Sunday school and to have a good time and maybe attend Awana and learn a little bit about Jesus. I knew there was a God. I knew there was a Jesus. But when the preacher got to preaching and there got to be some depth to his message, I started counting how many light fixtures are there. One, two, three, four. You see, I wasn't listening to the preacher. I was counting light fixtures. And I was counting how many vents are up there. And it was amazing the things that I would look around and look at the windows and notice those things. But I did not hear the preacher preach necessarily. I heard him, but I didn't listen. You know why? I was dead in trespasses and in sins. Someone named Jesus needed to cause me to hear and to have life. And I'm telling you, I sat in that service and sat in that service and sat in that service my entire life, but I did not hear from the Lord. And there are many of you, every one of you, under the sound of my voice, the first time you came to church, more than likely, you were looking around, rolling your eyes, and you did not hear the Word of God being preached. You did not take it to your heart. Can I get a witness from some of you? Is that not true? Okay, this young man is there in that he is dead, but he cannot hear. And guess what? His mother is in front of him, and she's weeping. She's brokenhearted. And not only do we see a dead young man, but we see a desperate mother. She wants to see a change in his life, but she's helpless to do so. What can she do to cause a dead man live? What can she do to change his life? What could we do to make this coach stand up? Nothing that we can do. Nothing that we can do. And for that, she is brokenhearted and she weeps much. Nobody can take care of her. There's no welfare program. There's no stimulus package. There's nobody, it seems, that cares for her soul. And she weeps much. And they've left the church house there. And according to Jewish tradition, she would lead the casket on their way to the graveyard. And the Bible tells us that she was in front of that casket. She was weeping and crying, and there were probably six young men who were carrying that casket, and they were on their way to the cemetery where there was a hole dug, and they were going to put that body in that hole. And as they came, the Bible says, They came to the gate of the city of Nain. Do you know what Nain means? It means beautiful. But that city that day is not beautiful. It's a terrible place because death has invaded and death has come. So here comes this mother to the gate of the city leading a funeral procession, brokenhearted and hopeless. But at the same time, coming into the city is Jesus. He is leading His disciples. He has just healed the centurion's servant. The disciples are rejoicing in the power of Jesus to heal and to change lives. And guess where they met? This woman who is leading a dead son and Jesus Christ who is life forevermore, they meet at the gate of the city. One group headed to the cemetery and one group headed to the city. I want to say to you tonight, that's the same thing that we have at Bethel tonight. There is a group in this building, you're on your way to the city called heaven. There is a group in this building, you're on your way to a cemetery, never been saved, know you need to be saved, know you need a life change, but it's going to take Jesus to do it, to help you overcome your fears and the many obstacles that you have. So here they have met head on. A suffering lady and a sovereign Lord. They've met head on. Oh, wicked old death and Jesus, who is life, have met head on. And what does Jesus do when He meets this woman? The Bible says when He saw her, He had compassion on her. And He looked at her and He said, "Weep not." What He's trying to say is, I know your need. I know your burden. I know your prayer request. You're brokenhearted over your boy. And I know that he is the caregiver in your home. And I know you would love to see him live again. He says to this woman, "Weep not." Aren't you glad tonight that our God is still the one who says, "I will wipe away all your tears." Amen. Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus is still the one when He looks down and sees us in our sorrow and in our suffering, He understands our needs. He understands our tears. He understands our heartbreak. He understands your prayer requests. He understands your problems at home. He understands the worries and the concerns that you have as young people tonight. He saw this woman and said to her, "Weep not." And you know what I believe? Immediately her tears stopped and they were dried up. And she looked at Jesus as the one who could meet her need. And then the Bible says that He went over there and He touched the bier. What does that mean? That is the thing that they carry this young man in, kind of like a casket. He touched that and He looks there to those men and they stand still. Stand still. They're not going to move. And what did Jesus do? He reached into that casket and He got him by the hand and He said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." What about that? A dead man could not hear. A dead man could not see. A dead man could not talk till Jesus came. And Jesus said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And guess what? The Scripture says he that was dead sat up. That's a sign of life because dead people don't sit up. He sat up just like you're sitting up. Amen. You realize when I was a young person and I was lost, dead in trespass and sin, there came a night in my life at Balfour Baptist Church. It was on a Thursday evening that the preacher preached that night. And for the first time, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, "Young man, I want you to listen. You're lost. You need to be saved. You're going to hell. You don't need to go to the cemetery called hell. You need to go to the city called heaven. And Jesus can change your life." And Jesus spoke to me and told me that if I called on Him, He would save me. And for the first time in my entire life, I sat up and heard what the men of God had to say and what the Holy Ghost had to say. And not only did I stand up, but this young man, the Bible said, he began to speak. That's another sign of life. When dead people starts to talk, what if you was to go to the funeral home and a dead person that you was viewing sat up? And if they looked at you and said, "Well, hello," well, it would have scared you to death. All these years I've been in church, and I've been a pretty good fella. I mean, I was pretty nice to most folks. But for the first time, God spoke to me, and I heard Him speak to my heart. And you know what I did? I jumped out of my pew. I knocked about three people out of my way. I ran, got in the middle of that aisleway, and I started walking down that aisleway, and the whole time I was thinking, what on earth am I going to do? What on earth am I going to do? And under the weight that I had on my shoulders, preacher, what was on you? A big coat? Was it a heavy tie? No, I felt so guilty because I'd never been saved. And how could I talk to God? And at the front row, I couldn't even get an altar. My knees buckled, and I fell beside the front row right there, and I began to cry. And there was a hand came on my back. It was my daddy. My daddy came up to me and he said, D.G., my middle name is Gregory, Darren Gregory. He said, D.G.? I said, yes, Dad. He said, what's wrong? I said, Dad, I need to be saved. God spoke to me tonight and I need to be saved. And I don't know what to do. And he said, just call on Him, son. Just call on Him and He'll save you. And you know, right there I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I hadn't been a drunkard, but I'd told lies. And a lie is a sin. And I knew for that sin I'd go to hell. And I asked God, would You save me? Would You forgive me? Would You save my soul? And guess what? Right that instant, amen, He saved my soul. And I jumped up and hugged my daddy and said, He saved me. The Lord Jesus has saved me. And I went back to my pew that night. And I got in the car and drove home. And I called my grandma over in Madison County. And I said, Grandma, guess what happened to me tonight? She said, you got saved. Stole my thunder. I couldn't wait to tell her what had happened to me, but she had already guessed it. I said, how did you know? She said, I've been praying for you, son. I've been praying for you, son. And I knew you was going to call and tell me that you got saved. Hey, I want to tell you something, Awana group. I want to tell you something, prayer meeting crowd. Aren't you glad one day you got lost? Aren't you glad one day that Jesus came to where you was? I mean, I don't even see where that young man was looking for Jesus. I don't even see where that mother that was brokenhearted was calling and crying out to Jesus. I'm telling you what, the night I went to the church, I wasn't looking for Jesus, but Jesus came looking for me. I wonder what that boy would have said when he sat up in that casket. When he sat up and looked around at all them people after Jesus had given him life again. I wonder if he might have said something like this. The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord, it was so vast the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to His demand, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where You are. He came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where He was. He came to me. That's why He died on Calvary. When I could not come to where He was, He came to me. He came to me when I was bound in chains of sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. He picked me up and drew me gently to His side, where today in His sweet love I now abide. He came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where He was. He came to me. Well, that's why He died on Calvary. Because when I could not come to where He was, He came to me. That night at the church house, I couldn't get to where Jesus was. He was in heaven and I was dead in trespasses and sins. But He came to me and spoke to me and gave me life. And now I'm saved. And I'm on my way to heaven. Praise God. I don't have to worry about the devil. And I don't have to worry about hell. I'm on my way to heaven because of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to stand with me tonight. That's just what the Lord told me to do. I wonder if your head's bowed and nobody's moving. You just bow your head tonight. I wonder if there's somebody here, you might say, "Preacher, I'd like to be saved. Preacher, I tell you, I believe tonight's the night He came to me and spoke to me about being saved." I wonder, is there one in this entire group? Maybe you're an adult. Maybe there's a mother here or a dad. Hey, not that your children are in the church, but you may have a friend or a loved one or a child somewhere. You're a grandmother maybe. And tonight you're desperate. And Jesus, you know, can take your loved one and save their soul. Jesus can save their soul. And Jesus can meet your prayer request. I wonder if there might be a friend or a loved one here. You might come to the altar and say, "Lord, I want to pray for my friend. I want to pray for them to be saved." And then again, I wonder if there might be somebody here that's a young person. You might say tonight, "Preacher, I want to be saved. More than anything, I want to be saved." And I'm just going to ask you tonight, listen, there's so many people here. There's no way I could get to where you are, but Jesus came to you and He spoke to you. And that's why your heart beats out of your chest tonight, beats so fast, because the Lord spoke to you. I wonder if there's one young person here to say, "Preacher, I want to be saved." But just slip up your hands. They won. Saying, "Preacher, I want to be saved." God sees a hand. Is anybody else? God sees a hand. God sees a... "Preacher, I've never been saved. I'd like to ask Him tonight." You put your hands back down. Is there anybody else? Say, "Preacher, I'd like to be saved. I've not asked Him to save me, but I want to do that tonight." Is anybody else? For those of you that raised your hand, some of them's already come to the altar. Would you come? Would you just come? You move out of their way, please, and you just let them come. That's right. Come on. Mind the Lord. Come on. Come right down here with me. I'm going to pray with you. Not going to embarrass you. Come right on down here. Amen. Come on. You raised your hand tonight. God bless you. Boy, I appreciate your faith. Praise the Lord. Anybody else tonight as you pray? Just get down on one knee right there in the altar somewhere. Anybody else? "Preacher, I want to be saved. I believe He came to me tonight." Now those of you in the altar, will you look at me? Will you look up at me? Those of you that are you're young people, you look at me. "Preacher, I want you to answer this question. Preacher, I've not asked Jesus to save me before. This is it tonight. Would you put up your hand? How many? How many put up your hand? I'm going to ask the Lord to save me tonight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right. Anybody else? I want you to pray with me. I want to ask you some questions. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross? Do you believe that? Do you believe they buried Him? Do you believe He rose again? Do you believe He lives in heaven now? Do you believe tonight He came? Right here where you are looking for you. I want you to pray with me. I want you to say that loud. I want you to say, "Jesus, I want to ask You to forgive my sins. Would You save me? Live in my heart forever. Let me go to heaven. Wash me in Your blood. In Jesus' name, I ask and pray. Amen. Amen." You look back up here. There you come. Thank you, dear. Huh? Thank you, dear. You that got saved, won't you stand right here? Come right here. Come right here. Please. Stand right here. You got saved, won't you stand right here? I'll ask you a question now. What's your name? Give me a microphone, brother. You got one of these microphones over here? Right. How old are you?
8 years old.
8 years old. Do you know tonight I started preaching about a man named Josiah, and the Bible says he's 8 years old, and they made him king. And I started to preach about Josiah, who was 8 years old. And you know what I asked? I said, "Lord, would You let there be an 8-year-old boy there tonight that I could use as an illustration as king?" That's what I asked for. And you know what? God said, "I don't want you to preach about Josiah. I want you to preach about He came to me." And guess what? The Lord sent us an 8-year-old boy anyway. So I'm proud of you, Curtis. Lord saved you tonight? Amen. You tell him, say, "The Lord saved you." He saved you? What happened to you?
A got saved.
Got saved. Amen. What's your name?
Caleb Green.
Caleb, how old are you?
7.
What happened tonight?
Got saved.
Amen. What's your name?
Kaylee.
Kaylee, how old are you?
8.
What happened tonight?
I got saved.
Amen.
Amen.
What's your name?
Mackenzie.
Mackenzie, how old are you?
6.
What happened tonight?
I got saved.
Praise the Lord. What's your name?
Marley.
How old are you, Marley?
9.
What happened tonight?
I got saved.
You sure? Amen. What's your name?
Kayla.
Kayla, how old are you?
8.
What happened tonight?
I got saved.
Amen. What's your name?
Austin.
Austin, how old are you?
11.
What happened tonight?
I got saved.
You going to heaven?
Yeah.
Amen. What's your name?
Brendan.
How old are you?
11.
What happened tonight?
I got saved.
Amen. Going to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Come down here, sweetie. What's your name?
Stormy.
Stormy, how old are you?
8.
What happened tonight?
I got saved.
Praise the Lord. Don't it feel good? Amen. What's your name?
Reagan.
Reagan, how old are you?
7.
7 years old. What happened tonight?
I got saved.
Don't you feel better? Praise the Lord. Ain't you proud of these? Now, y'all look down here and some of them's got tears in their eyes. That's how real it is to them. You may say, well, I don't know. They're a little young. You know what? You can go back to your seats. You look at how young they are, but God looks at their heart.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate what the Lord's doing, don't you?
Amen.
Brother Bing, do you come up? Amen, Brother Bing. Ain't God good?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Again, thank all of y'all for coming. Praise the Lord.
I have one announcement to make.
Please do.
I don't want to get us off a spiritual aspect here, but Sister Patricia asked me, if you're an adult and you had your picture made for the church directory and you've not viewed your proofs, you need to, and you've missed your opportunity to view your proofs, you need to go in the fellowship hall tonight and make an appointment for Thursday and Friday and get that done, okay? Please get that done. All right? Amen, Brother Bean.
Thank y'all so much for participating in this program. Love all of you very much. And this is what it's about. So we'll close in prayer. Our Father, we're so thankful to you. Well, we're unworthy, so unworthy of the good things you've done for us, God. I pray, Lord, that in our lives we will not base our joy and our happiness and our successes on our circumstances, Lord. We have no control over that. Lord, I'm so thankful that you don't look on our outward appearance or our age, but God, you look at our heart. And Lord, you see that. And Lord, you've seen that in some of the teachers tonight as they have just confess their love to you, but also these young people, Lord, who've given their life to you. Thank you, Lord. Please, God, have mercy on us and keep us from evil. Stir us, Lord, to serve you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.